Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
It is such an honor to be with you tonight. I'm so glad that you're here because God has an appointed word for us tonight, and I am so excited to watch what He's going to do tonight. How many of you like to be victorious? How many of you like to win? Yeah? All right, good. Almost every single hand went up. That's awesome. Well, I know we have a state championship basketball team here and a state championship coach here, so I know they like to win. Well, you know, when anytime we're playing a game, it ought to be fun, but it's funner when you're winning. Now, I know that's not good grammar, but it does make the point. You know, when we're playing or when we are fighting the enemy, we have to have a strategy because victories don't come by accident. You know, a strategy is a plan, a method, a series of maneuvers for obtaining a specific goal. You know, in the military, I know we have several veterans here. In the military, strategy is the utilization during both peace and wartime of all of a nation's forces through large-scale, long-range planning and developing to ensure security and victory. I love that. I love that the military knows that in both peacetime and in war, there has to be a strategy already in place. You have to have a strategy. You know, Kelly and I just built a shop. And when we began, we used a transit. Now, I'm sure a lot of you know what that is. How many do not know what a transit is? Oh, good. Well, there's three of us because I did not know until we used one. But basically what a transit is it helps you to make the ground level. There's a tripod over here, and it is shooting a laser in 360 degrees. And then there's another part of the transit that I'm sure it has a very technical term, but I call it the stick. And that's my job, was to hold the stick. And so what we would do is we set up the transit on the tripod, and we're going to call it point A, okay, in the corner of the building where we wanted the building to be. There's nothing but a grass field. So then I go and I stand over here and I hold the stick. And I hold the stick and I go up and I go down. And this transit, as it's getting closer to the laser beam, it goes beep, 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 beep. And I know when I hear the long beep, I stop. Because if I move, it stops beeping. And then I get in trouble. So I have to move it and make it stay. So that tells us where we need to dig on the other side of the field to make it level. So what that means is, for example, the tripod's over here, and where I was standing, we had to dig out 5 feet down to make that level. Does that make sense? Okay. So then we measured every other corner from that first corner. So what you call that first corner is the cornerstone of that building. We wanted our building to be straight and strong and level. It needed a cornerstone or a baseline. Now hear me, because this is something solid in which to measure everything else by. This is a strategy that we use to build a nice, straight, solid building. But you know what? What if we'd gone, let's just eyeball it. Anybody ever eyeballed something and then you end up with 15 holes and your picture's still not straight? Yeah. We could have gone, looks pretty good. That's one strategy. Another strategy would be, what if we went from point A with a tape measure and we can draw straight lines? I know how to do I don't know what it's called. What's it called? A chalk line. There you go. I know how to do that. Can't remember what it's called, but I know what it is. But I can go from point A to point B, from point B to point C, point C to point D, and point D to point A again. We could have measured it out, had 4 nice straight walls, come in and poured the concrete. Would that have worked? No, because there's 5 feet difference, right? So it wouldn't have worked. It's a strategy, though. So there can be a strategy, but if it's not the right strategy, it still won't work. So what I want us to start off with in our lesson is knowing two things. Number one, in life, we need a strategy. And number two, it needs to be the right strategy. Turning your Bibles with me to Ephesians 2. We're going to read verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is point A, that which everything is measured from. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation, that's which we continue to build upon. The Word of God likens our lives as Christians to building something. Yet so many Christians have no strategy or the wrong strategy, thus they don't walk in victory. We have to have a strategy because victories don't come by accident. Let's take raising children as an example. This is a method that some parents use. Well, they're fed, they've got clothes on their back. It's a day-to-day thing. It's just, oh, we'll just figure it out as we go. Joanne, I promise I will clean that up. I just threw confetti all over the stage because that's what it's like sometimes in life. As Christians, and in this example of raising children, woo, just however it lands, we are just going to throw it up and see what happens. But you know, Psalm 127 tells us how to raise children. You know what it says? It says that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. It takes skill, and it takes precision, and it takes effort to shoot an arrow. Arrows are aimed. They are aimed at a target. They're not thrown in the air like confetti. It's very intentional. This scripture says, like a warrior. Any veteran in here can tell you, what do warriors always have? They have a strategy. In peacetime and in war. What is a peacetime strategy? A peacetime strategy is when you're healthy, you know what the Bible says about healing. When you are doing well financially, you know what the scriptures are about prospering. That's our peacetime strategy as Christians. We have to have a strategy. I want you to get this because victories do not come by accident. You know, when someone is preaching and they're talking about the attacks of the enemy, so many times we hear so, and not necessarily in this church, but I'm sure you've been in those crowds. When the pastor's talking about how bad the enemy is attacking, you hear amens all over the place. And they're loud amens. They're in great agreement. But when he's talking about the goodness of God and the promises of God, sometimes it's really quiet. You know, I asked the Lord about that. And he said, it's because the people can relate to the attacks. And that's true. I think if I ask you, how many of you in here have ever not been attacked? Not a hand would go up. Because we've all been there, and we can all relate to that. But too many times we relate more with the suffering that the enemy brings than we do with the promises of God. And we need to mature and get past that and literally reverse it. This is because Christians don't understand the strategies that God has in place for their victory. God has victory for you. And tonight we are going to dive deep into what that strategy of victory is. Anything that is not in covenant, And anything that's not part of the covenant that we have with God is not, it does not have the right to speak into a Christian's life. Let's say that again. Anything that is not in the covenant that we have with God does not have the right to speak into your life as a Christian. What is it that's coming against you? If it's not part of God's covenant, then it does not have the right to speak or influence your life. Who or what are we letting influence us? Now, I want you to think about this as I tell you this story. Who or what are you letting influence you? As many of you know, Kelly said Sunday morning that he was a little giddy because we had a new grandbaby. Justice and Johanna, our son and daughter-in-law, had their baby. And when Sunday school was getting ready to start, I got the text, baby's here, everybody's healthy, it's all awesome. Yay, woo! And we were so excited. And then we got in the car because I don't have any cell service in this building. And can I get an amen? No, it's okay. But on the way, as soon as we got to the driveway, my phone just starts dinging. And it's like, the baby's not breathing. She's in intensive care. Her lungs are full of fluid. Please pray. She's in critical condition. Without the ventilator, she's not alive. Remember, we are talking about, what do you let influence you? So I am, now she's a full-term baby. She's very obedient. She was born on her due date. I am praying for Amara. Her name is Amara. And I am praying for Amara. And I am praying for Amara. You know what I'm saying? And the second I got done praying for Amara, there was an image that came into my head. I got a picture in my head. But I'm here to tell you, it was not a picture from God. It was a picture from the enemy. Now, I just got done spending time with God on behalf of this baby. And the image that I had, I'm not even going to utter what it was. But I'm here to tell you, it was not in the covenant that I have with God. It did not have the right to speak into my life. And I do not let it influence me. So I had a choice to make right in that moment. Remember, we're talking about who or what are you letting influence you? I have an image that is from the pit of hell. Am I going to let that image influence my faith? Am I going to let that influence my heart, my emotions, my thoughts? Or am I going to take that thought captive to the obedience of God Almighty, and it is not going to happen that way? Yes, ma'am. I'm telling you, the devil messed with the wrong mammy. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is why we have to have a strategy during peacetime. Because if I didn't know anything about who I was in Christ, if I didn't know anything about the covenant, if I didn't know anything about healing, we would be having a different service right now. Yeah. Now I'm telling you, this is important. Amen. This is important in your life. You're going to need this. Right. You need it now, when hopefully things are great. The devil doesn't get to vote in my life, in your life as a believer. You know, think of it this way. If you told your children to play in the yard, and you said, stay close to the house. And the neighbor lady comes over and she says, hey, it's okay, just go play in the street. There's not much traffic, you'll be fine. Does she have the authority to influence your children? Does she have the right to speak into their life? Now they may choose, get this, they may choose to listen to her voice, even though she does not have authority to tell them what to do. If they allowed themselves by their choice to be influenced by someone that did not have the authority, it could have dire circumstances. When we come into agreement with what the Lord says, the promises manifested. If you're taking notes, I'm going to say it again. when we come into agreement with what the Lord says, the promises are manifested. The Word of God is the key component to our strategy. His presence, not just His plan, is important. We have to have the presence of God with the Word of God. You know, Pastor just preached a sermon about Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? I had Judas in my notes before he preached that 2 weeks ago. God is awesome. I love to watch the way he weaves things together. So now tonight, you already know the full story of Judas because you all were here 2 weeks ago. So he's the one that betrayed Christ. But get this. There was a strategy involved in all of that betrayal. The enemy had a strategy. They found someone willing to betray Jesus. They struck a deal for 30 pieces of silver. They devised a plan. He said, "The one whom I kiss." And that kiss was a sign for the soldier to come and get him. The enemy had a strategy because victories don't come by accident, even to the enemy. If our enemy has a strategy, folks, we better have a strategy. And it needs to be in place at all times. So what is God's strategy for our victory? You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 1:4, Titus 1:2, 1 Peter 1:20, and other scriptures say that before the foundation of the world, God had a strategy in place. He had a plan already outlined before the foundation of the world. He had a Savior that would come. It took 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus, but God had a strategy because God knows victories don't come by accident. Jesus came. He lived. He died. He rose from the dead. And through this strategy that was set up in place before the foundation of the world, God gave us a strategy for today. He gave us power, authority, and dominion. Turn with me to Mark 16. We're going to start reading in verse 15. Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. And he, being Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs that followed. Some of you are familiar with Brother Kenneth Hagin. He's in heaven now, and he was a great man of God. And he had a vision one time, and as you can see, as I go through this, it was confirmed in the Word. And I'd like to preface that by saying that not every vision would I ever stand up here and quote to you. But if it's confirmed in the Word, then we know it's all right. And so, Brother Hagin, it's a lengthy vision, and I'm just going to hit the highlights because I want to make this point. That Brother Hagin knelt down to pray, and when he did, the Lord Jesus appeared in front of him. And Jesus said, "I want to teach you about demon spirits and how they operate." And about that time, a demon appeared, and he stood between Brother Hagin and Jesus. And Brother Hagin says he just started jumping and just causing all kinds of racket. He would explain it as yuckety-yuck, 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 yuck-yuck. Just this awful noise that he was making. Well, Jesus is facing him, and he's still talking. And he can't hear what Jesus is saying. Now, can you imagine the Lord Jesus appearing to you and you can't hear him because of this little demon? Oh, he was so frustrated. He thought, why doesn't Jesus do something about this? You know, the Lord knows your thoughts. So finally, Brother Hagin had had enough. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, you need to get out. Just go." Well, it just laid on the floor and shook and shriveled up like it had been beat with a baseball bat. And the Lord looked at him and he said, if you had not done something about that, I could not have done anything about it. And Brother Hagin said, Lord, I think I misunderstood. You mean you wouldn't have done anything about it? And Jesus said, no, I couldn't have done anything about it. So Brother Hagin, this is probably why he got this visitation from the Lord, because he's the kind of man of integrity. And he said, now, Lord, I know that you speak truth, but if I can't find it in the word, I'm not gonna believe what you've just said. So it has to be in the word. Now, that's pretty brazen, don't you think? But you know what? God is so good, because he said, Brother Hagin said, Lord, I need two or three witnesses in the New Testament, because that's what your word says, that it'll be confirmed out of the mouths of two or three witnesses. And the Lord, instead of being offended that he'd been asked, he said, the Lord smiled at him and said, I'll give you four. Isn't that how good God is? And he gave him four scriptures. He gave him Matthew, where he says, all authority has been given to me, Jesus, and I now give it to you. In Mark, we just read, these signs shall follow them that believe. In Ephesians, there's a place that says, neither give place to the devil. That means us. We are to not give place to the devil. And James says, resist the devil and he will flee. Before he left, Jesus gave us power and authority and dominion to exercise here on this earth. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That's power. What are we doing with that power? What strategy are we using? Is our strategy like the confetti that's just whatever? Or do we have a strategy? Jesus' strategy is this. Here we go. Boil all of this down to these 5 points. For us to know what the Word of God says. Number one, we have to know what the Word of God says. Number two, trust Him and His Word. We need to ask and claim. We need to give worship and thanksgiving. And we need to rest and be at peace because we know that God is working. We have to have this strategy in our lives because victories don't come by accident. He has set up the strategies. Our job is to be faithful to it. He did all the hard stuff. He set up the strategy, and our job is to be faithful. Let's turn to Mark 11:22. As you're turning, I'm going to read Jesus' the strategy that he set up one more time for those of you that are taking notes. First is for us to know what the word says. Second is to trust him and his word. Third is to ask and claim. Fourth is to give worship and thanksgiving. And finally, rest and be at peace knowing and believing that he is working on your behalf. All right, have you found Mark 11? Let's read verses 22 through 24. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall have them. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. Some translations say, have the faith of God. Well, what does God's faith look like? Well, all we have to do is turn to Genesis 1. Because he spoke that which was not as though it was, and then it was. So the creative power in his word, not just his word as he's speaking it, but the word as we're speaking it. I heard a well-known pastor say that the Lord told him that my word, okay, this is the Lord speaking, my word in your mouth is as powerful as my word in my mouth, if you believe. And that's true. That's scripture. Verse 23 says, if we, one, say, two, do not doubt, three, believe what we say. Now let's stop right there for a second, because I know that some of you may be thinking that number two and number three are the same. Don't doubt and believe. But they're not the same, because there is a middle ground called indifferent. And faith is active. So we have to speak. We have to believe. Faith without works is dead. I don't see it. I believe it. So I speak it. So now I see it. That's how it works. Verse 24, whatever you desire or ask when you pray, believe that you receive. When? When you pray. When you pray, believe that you have received it. Guys, this is scripture. Is God's word true? Yes or no? Is God's word true? Yes. When you pray, that's when we believe. We don't believe when we see it. Why do you think the enemy gave me such a vivid, it wasn't just a thought. Well, it was a thought, because we think in pictures. We don't think in words. If I say pink elephant, you didn't see P-I-N-K, right? You saw a pink elephant, because we think in pictures. Why do you think he gave me such a vivid, horrible picture? Because when I pray, I believe, not when I see. He was trying to make me see something else. I'm not going to have it. When we pray, we believe. Now, guys, please understand, this is not a formula to get God to do something for us. That is not what this is. These are principles that God has set into place. His plan without his presence is only half of the equation. Being led of the Holy Spirit is imperative. We must know the word, but we must also hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to quicken to you a word. There are maybe lots and lots of scriptures, but the Lord may be saying this one right here, and it may be something you've never thought of before. But he knows that that is the scripture that you need to stand on that will quicken your situation and change it and line it up with the covenant that we have with God Almighty. Where do you need victory in your life? What scripture, listen to this question, what scriptures speak to your need? What scriptures speak to your need? What promise are you claiming in your situation? Guys, listen to these next two or three scriptures that I have for you. They are amazing. Psalm 103:2 says that angels are doing his bidding. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, at the end of that time, angels, ministering spirits, came and took care of him. Angels do God's work. They do his bidding. We have ministering angels, ministering spirits on our behalf. Jeremiah 1:12 says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. Guys, this is God Almighty. I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. This is not a promise from Uncle Joe down the road that never keeps his word. He is actively keeping his word. He's watching. God is alert, and he's actively watching over his word to perform it. I just see the Lord going, oh, my word's going out over here. Yeah, angels, go and minister there. Oh, yes, I hear my word. Oh, there's my word back there. Kirk just quoted that scripture that he needed. He heard the Holy Spirit tell him, and it's moving in his situation right now. God is active. He's not God, everybody has to worship me, and I don't care about anybody else. That's not our God. He's actively watching you. He's pursuing you, and he's listening for his word in your mouth. We must partner with God. Remember when I said he has a strategy set up? Our job is just to stay and keep in it. This is part of that. His word in our mouth is a huge part of his strategy. When we pray, we believe and we don't doubt. What do we pray? We pray the word of God. I'm going to give you a scripture here in a minute. And if you need to get out a pen and write it on your arm, I want you to do it. Okay? Are we worshiping him for who he is? Do we hit that number 5? Are we worshiping him for who he is? And are we giving him thanks for what he has done? Are we resting in peace? Luke 1, verse 37. Get this. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God shall ever be impossible or without fulfillment. That means that every word of God will be fulfilled. We want to pray the word of God because it will be fulfilled. If you want a strategy that is guaranteed to make you victorious, pray the word of God. Pray the word of God. It's a strategy. God has set it up, but we as Christians aren't doing it because we're not aware of it or we don't understand the importance of it. In peacetime and in war, when your life is wonderful and when you get that call, we have to know the strategy. If you want a strategy that is guaranteed to make you victorious, you will pray the word. I'm going to show you, we have just enough time. I'm going to show you what this looks like. Obviously, remember I said what scripture speaks to your need? Our need in our family is healing. So I have my healing file. And I have healing scriptures after healing scriptures. I have a healing folder full of healing teaching, and this is just part of it, okay? And I need healing in our family, so I have to know the word of God to know, number one, it is his plan to heal. It is his perfect desire that she be whole. And then in that file, I found this. This is a little note card. Little 3x5 note card, and it's probably 27 years old because my oldest child is 31. It may be 30 years old. And it says on the back, I wrote, "For every need, there is a seed." And of course, the seed is the word of God. Sow seed into the need. Sow the word of God into the need. And I put two needs on the front. And their first need, bless the Lord, I do believe that God is faithful, because the first need is my children to follow the perfect plan of God for their lives. And I have all these scriptures written out, all these scripture references. And then the second one is physical needs. And I wrote down on here, Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5, Matthew 4, 23, Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20, Psalm 30, 2 and 3, Proverbs 4, verses 21 through 23, Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, 3 John 1, 2, James 5, 14 through 16, Isaiah 57, 18 and 19, 1 Peter 2, 24, Isaiah 58, 8, Malachi 4, 2, Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Those are just some of the scriptures. During peacetime. Guys, my oldest is 31. I wrote that when she's like 2 years old. She wasn't rebelling. We weren't having problems with her or Hannah, either one. But in peacetime, I was praying the word of God over my family to see the desired results. Because, guys, they're going to grow up, and I didn't want to raise them like confetti. They were an arrow, and I needed to know how to shoot them. That doesn't sound right, but you get that. Okay. Work with me here. It's been a long week. Hey. But when it comes to Amara, we have just a couple of minutes, and I really want to show you how this works. I don't want to fall off the stage. One of the scriptures that the Lord led me to, again, remember, the Holy Spirit's leading, not just the word, it all works together. Psalm 91. Now, I want to show you how to make this apply to your life and not just a scripture from the Bible. All right? This is me in my living room. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Amara. I thank you that you have given her life. I thank you that children are a blessing from the Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that she will live and not die, and she will declare the works of the Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that your word says, because we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, we rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We say of the Lord, you are Amara's refuge. You are her fortress. You are the God in whom we trust. Surely you will save her from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. You will cover Amara with your feathers, and under your wings she finds refuge. Your faithfulness, Lord, will be her shield and rampart. We will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence, which is, by the way, epidemic. Pandemics that stalk in the darkness, nor any plague or bacterial infection that strikes at midday. 1,000 may fall at her side, 10,000 at her right hand, but it will not come near her. But we will only observe with our eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We say of the Lord, he is our refuge, and we make you, Lord, our Most High. You are our dwelling, and no harm will overtake Amara. No disaster will come near my tent. My tent is my family. No disaster will come near my tent. Lord, this is your word, and I thank you for it, and I believe it. For you will command your angels concerning her to guard her in all her ways. They will lift her up in their hands, lest she would even strike her little foot against a stone. You cause Amara to tread upon the lion and the cobra. We will trample this great lion and serpent. Because we love you, you say, Lord, that you will rescue her, that you will protect her. For we acknowledge your name, Lord. We call upon you, and you answer us. It says, Father, that you will be with Amara in trouble, and you will deliver her and honor her, and with long life you will show her your salvation. Glory to God. That's putting the word in your mouth. That is because victory doesn't come by accident. There is a strategy. Putting the word in our mouth is the strategy of God. Don't be a confetti Christian, just throwing things up and hoping that something comes down in the right place. Follow the strategies of God, and you will see his victory. Say it with me. We have to have a strategy, because victories don't come by accident. Stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.